me friend, if you're an Email Templates 101 owner, be sure to log in and check out the 2024 updates and brand new templates in your course.
You'll find a new active listing seller check-in template, as well as a new offer delivery template for your sellers, plus lots of fine-tuning to the other existing templates.
Don't have Email Templates 101 yet? Grab yours now at hustlehumblypodcast.com/courses.
Carrying boxes on their moving day.
I cannot make this stuff up.
I am not a mover. Google.
Because that frightened me to my core. Like, what?
First of all, I just want to commend you for actually doing your due diligence, because not all agents are created equal.
Don't convince, have conviction. It doesn't matter how much money you spend. It is not a value. They hired you to buy or sell. Let them eat cake.
Let them eat cake. I'm not going to be able to top that,
right.
And I don't want to try. Hi, y'all. Welcome to Hustle Humbly. It's Alyssa and Katie, and we are two top producing realtors in the Baton Rouge market.
We work for two different companies where we should be competitors, but we have chosen community over competition.
The goal of our podcast is to encourage you to find your own way in business.
So stop comparing yourself and start embracing your strengths.
Okay, let's just do this.
Let's do this. Hi, Alyssa.
Hey, Katie.
Smile at the camera. It's episode 239, and we are talking about providing value today.
Yes.
So in my pre-work just now, I did a lot of pre-work for the record, but in my extra pre-work right now, I'm like, let's just quick Google, like, how do realtors provide value? Because I want to know what the consumer is seeing out in the world,
correct?
Right?
Yes.
Directly from our friend Google.
Oh, no.
How do you provide value to real estate clients? So Google's talking straight to the realtors.
Yeah.
So y'all perk up your ears and I'm going to read it for you. You can be a good real estate agent by providing value to your client. You'll do that by helping them complete difficult tasks like paperwork, providing information like market data, and being there to help. Example, carrying boxes on their moving day.
Carrying boxes on their moving day.
I'd make this stuff
up. I am not a mover. Google. Oh, my.
I was just like, whoa, no. I am not carrying boxes. I'm not carrying boxes. And that's not your value.
No.
Your value isn't cleaning, carrying boxes. Your value isn't doing gardening. Like, sure, I guess you could pull some weeds at the house, but
there are certainly times when we've had to do some things, but you don't want to be leaning into those things that aren't necessarily in the job description.
I'm putting away Google now.
Thank you.
Because that frightened me to my core. Like, what? I'm not caring.
Is this what the public sees?
Right. I will say I have emptied out a leftover hanger or two in a final walkthrough. Like, you know, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
I'm not above picking up trash.
Right.
But I am also not going to show up on the day that you move and help you place your thing. That's not. If you think that's the value that realtors provide, you are mistaken.
Yes. This is where the problems arise.
And that's why we're here for this episode. Now, in the current state of our market and our industry, this is a really important conversation.
Very important.
Okay. It's not a joke, although sometimes I feel like.
Sometimes if we don't laugh, we cry.
I know. We say that a lot lately. But as an agent, you have to be able to speak to your value. We had a whole episode about that in reference to if you were approaching a for sale by owner, or if a person came up to you and said, I'm thinking of selling for sale by owner. What do realtors do anyway?
Right.
And that was episode 154. It's got lots of tips really specific to the listing side.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I think with our current industry struggles, we need to get a little bit more clear about what we're offering on the buyer side. So I want to lean into that a little bit, but we'll do both.
Yeah.
Okay. Because a lot of times it's a crossover, the same type of value you're providing a buyer, you're providing a seller.
I hope that this episode will come up if it is someone in the public.
Yeah.
So even though in our market right now in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, we are still in transition with how everything is going, we haven't seen any major changes, but I have noticed that in the beginning of 2024, some of my first buyers are asking more questions about how do you get paid?
Good.
And I think it's great. I'm like, okay, so they are doing some research online.
And it's coming up.
For example, I have a story.
Please, let's hear it.
I'm working at my desk. I get this email. someone had created, it's a real email, real person. They created an email, you know, smithfamilyhomesearch@gmail.com.
What was the reason, do you know, for creating the email?
They wanted to be anonymous? A very organized person.
Okay.
And they were just trying to be very diligent.
This is where all the emails would go.
This is for the house. Yes, this is the house email account.
Can you imagine starting a new email account for every
project
that you...
Yeah, she needs like a Trello, but I guess she wants to keep it all the
same. This isn't my problem. Carry on.
She starts off with being like, I think she was young. I never met her.
Okay, we're guessing.
Yes, she's like, we're buying our first home.
Okay.
And, you know, we're just trying to do our due diligence and be smart. There's a lot of scary stuff out there on the internet.
Fair.
So if you have time, would you mind just answering some of these questions? That would be great.
Via an email. They didn't want to schedule a call or a meetup. Mm-mm. Okay. What happens next?
There was like 20 questions.
Oh, wow.
I actually saved my answers because I put some time into it. And I thought, some of it I was like really proud.
Yeah.
Like, this is good. You know, they wanted to know questions like, are you on a team? Are you going to be the one showing us homes?
Oh, that's fascinating.
Are we going to meet anybody else? Or like, do you work with us? So a lot of questions about that, wanting some clarity.
Sure.
You know, how do we pay you? I thought that was a great question. But then it got into like, do you have any vacations scheduled? And I just kind of wanted to be like, that's none of your business.
Wow.
Yeah.
But like, what difference?
How available are you? And I was honest. I said.
Like, they were like, are you going to work 24/7?
Right. It never said it in that way, but it just got.
That's how you received it.
I've never asked, I guess, in all fairness, when you're having a baby, you ask your OBGYN, are you going to be on vacation my due date?
Mine was.
And guess what? Sometimes they are. And that's okay.
And another doctor showed up and handled it.
Yeah.
Just like if you need to see a house while I'm on vacation, another realtor that I send will show up and handle it.
Yes. But it just, towards the end, it just got to be more, I just thought it wasn't.
What was the most inappropriate thing they asked?
I just was really rubbed the wrong way about them wanting to know what vacations I had scheduled.
You were like, I'm not sure yet.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I'll leave town at some point during your...
Right. I like to take my kids to the beach in the summer. Does that matter? Why is this an interview question?
I guess I would have responded with, can you tell me why this is important?
Well, then the next question was, how available are you?
Like, again, when do you need me to be? This is a very bold, broad question.
And so I did answer it in a way to help educate this person.
Okay.
To say, you know, just like you, I have a life outside of my job. I try to be available during business hours and many other hours by appointments. There are times when we may have to go see a home quickly. I will always do my best to get us there. If you can't get there, I could always go do a video walkthrough for you, get a virtual tour.
Okay.
So I felt like I do prefer email when people are sending me addresses because I like to sit at my computer, pull up property disclosures, make notes. This is all much easier via email.
Yeah.
During business hours, you can easily reach me using your phone. I just was very honest, but I was trying to make sure I was not answering these to be the right answer. I was trying to answer them
how you operate your business.
These are my Alyssa answers.
If this isn't for you, you're not for me.
Maybe. And I didn't say that, but I wanted to say at some point in there, these questions are very helpful because I may have questions for you.
Yeah, you don't.
Maybe we're not compatible.
We might not be.
But I didn't say that. And so I just answered her questions. I also gave her, she asked a lot of questions about, are you full time? Do you have other jobs? Like, she was just so concerned about my availability.
Did she have a previous experience with an agent?
She didn't say.
What was the follow-up to this?
So I sent it and was just like, here's what's crazy. I don't know how many they emailed, but I was like, I have also attached my resume here. Mm-hmm. If you would like more information on how the home buying process works, here's an episode to our Consumer Guide podcast. I said, you know, I feel like I was working with homebuyers so often that this was repeatable and people found this document helpful. Not to toot my own horn. The email, she caught me at the right moment. It could not have been written better.
Great. Okay.
She responded immediately.
Okay.
And was like, wow, this was so helpful. Because I also told her before I responded to any of her questions, First of all, I just want to commend you for actually doing your due diligence because not all agents are created equal. So I think the fact that you're taking the time to interview agents and ask questions is admirable.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of you. You are already a step of most first-time home buyers.
Agree. How did she find you?
She didn't say.
Oh, God.
I asked that. Well, she didn't answer that. I asked, but she didn't answer. So I that's how I started off. I answered her questions. I said, also attaches my resume in this podcast episode. Mm-hmm. She's like, this is so helpful. Thank you so much. I also appreciate you encouraging me because I felt like I was unsure about sending this email at all.
Okay.
And I wanted to say, you kind of should have been because you shouldn't have been asking about my vacation, but you're
that's okay.
You're learning.
That's fine.
You're learning. Okay. And I answered your questions. So I checked in with her like 2 days later. Hey, just wanted to see how it was going. Oh, it's going really great. Thank you so much. We're still waiting to hear back from a few others. Your podcast episode was so helpful. I just feel so educated. I learned so much. I'm like, great. Then 2 days later, I get like a rejection email from her. That's like,
I am on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, I didn't get
What was the reason?
She didn't say. She said, I just wanted to say thank you so much for all of the time you put into answering our questions and educating us. We have decided to go with another agent. And here's the thing. I wasn't upset that I, but I'm just like, what are you looking? The whole thing was confusing to me.
I honestly feel like she was a secret shopper.
Okay. That thought crossed my mind. Like this was a realtor secret shopping people.
Who creates a whole new email address?
Sort of anonymously.
To make it where?
To get all my stuff?
Yeah. Alyssa, you could have just get.
I could have been secret shopped and then I got dumped.
No, I feel like something totally sketchy was going on there.
I got dumped. She seemed...
I don't think she was a buyer at all, though.
I don't know. So I emailed her back and told her, not a problem at all. I hope that you found someone that was the perfect fit for you. And I wish you the best of luck in your house hunting journey. In the event I could have done something different or if you have any feedback for me, I always love to get feedback.
No. Nothing. Crickets. Because they were like, thanks for sending over your resume, answering all these questions. I'm going to go use this in my business.
Probably.
What else did you attach?
Just my resume.
Well, I mean, what are they going to do with that? What are they going to do with that?
I do think that maybe some of my, I did mention like I run my business like a business. I'm full time. I try to keep things via business hours. I do have kids. So, you know.
Uh-oh.
I did mention that. I said those things. I said, but I stay on, I've never missed anything. You know, I've never had anybody miss out.
This is fascinating.
So I didn't get it. And then, you know, as simultaneously, I have two transactions falling apart right now where I'm the listing agent and the buyer's agents could have saved everything if they were valuable. And now we're trying to record this on value and I'm showing up here at the microphone.
You're like, I don't.
I'm like, listen, I just got dumped.
Maybe I don't have value.
Maybe I'm just, you know, I'm a little down in the dumps, Katie.
Fine. Let's back it up a little. Tell me honestly, when I ask you if you, Alyssa Jenkins, as a realtor, provide value to your buyers and sellers, what is your answer?
Oh my gosh. I feel like I could just go, I believe I have value.
So it's not even a doubt in your mind.
No.
At all.
Sometimes I feel like we're here to save the real estate industry one podcast episode at a time.
To be honest, it needs saving.
It needs saving. And then I get out in the field and see why it needs saving right. so much. And sometimes I get discouraged.
It's okay that you're discouraged. Mm-hmm. It's okay that you're discouraged. But it wasn't on you. You had the answers to the questions. You had reasons behind them. You do run your business like a business, which means maybe I don't hire that particular lawyer or doctor or whatever, because I don't like the way they run their business. That's
We're
okay.
Not matched. There's others out there.
They didn't want to work with you. But I will tell you, it's to me, that particular story is incredibly suspicious that someone would have made an email address. Like, did they say we made this email address for our home search?
Yeah.
It seems weird.
She was just like, I guess it's something I would have probably done.
off air, I'm going to have to get more details on this. But okay. So
I'll show it to you.
I have a list of 8 ways that you do provide value or okay. you can provide value as an agent. Okay.
I would like to not end myself real quick on a negative note.
Please.
Because while I felt like I'm feeling a lot of things for our industry right now, I genuinely believe people need a realtor in a real estate transaction. They need a real estate agent. Here's the deal.
Yes.
They are not all created equal.
No.
This would be a great episode for a consumer to listen to, mm-hmm. to understand that just in our market alone, we have over 3,600 realtors. we might know 50 to 75 of them. We might know their names because right. those are the ones that stay educated, right. stay relevant, business. Do the business, mm-hmm. like run their business like a business. That is why with such a small percentage being the ones that you want, that's why I think you do need to ask questions before you just hire someone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Very important.
And especially going forward, if the buyer's agents are going to have to ask you, the consumer, to pay them directly in the event that the seller is not offering a compensation, mm-hmm. you do need to interview. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Or at least get them. You don't have to interview five people. But if you find one you want to work with, have a list of questions that you're trying to answer. Maybe it's not when are they taking vacation, but maybe it is. A little bit about their business. Mm-hmm. Try and figure it out. Okay. Yeah. That kind of goes into item number one on my, and I divided this list into tangible and intangible things. And the reason why I did that is when I think about my business, there's a lot of paper in it and you show up with a computer and you don't provide less value than me. In some ways, I think you probably provide more, but I don't think that you're, like a paper presentation kind of gal.
No.
So it doesn't automatically mean you have more value because you showed up with a stack of papers, right?
Yeah.
But you have to, so there's intangibles and there's tangibles. That's how I felt about it.
But are you comfortable communicating your value?
Right.
I am comfortable communicating my value when I sit down with my clients. Because you know what it is. And you're comfortable, like I'm most comfortable without paper because with paper, yeah. I stutter. Like I feel like I have to read and I'm looking down and I'm uncertain. You feel
I just need
more,
a guide. I want an
yes,
outline.
You like a guide and an outline. It keeps you on track.
Yeah, it keeps me on
so
track.
It's just different communication styles. However you need to communicate it, just communicate it.
Right. But, and let's back it up one more. You need to know what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. If you are a new agent or maybe a struggling agent, you're like, well, I don't think I provide value. Whenever that seller didn't want to work with me or that buyer fired me or dumped me or whatever, I didn't really have a rebuttal. I didn't think in my head, oh, I did everything I could, or I was providing value. I just thought, well, why would they work with me? Mm-hmm. You know? So back it up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you some like things you can do, but you have to believe it. And Gary Vee has a quote that is one of my favorites ever. And he says, don't convince, have conviction. Mm. Okay? So if you're trying to sell anything, don't convince the buyer or seller or the person, the consumer. Have yeah. conviction. If you don't have that conviction about what you're going to do as an agent, you can't sell it. Mm-hmm. But you also don't need to. If you know in your heart and they start asking you questions and you're like, I know the answers to this, or I know why, I know what I'm going to do. And it's hard when you're new and you don't have enough experience to actually be like, okay, well, I remember what I did. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just kind of like, but I'm going to tell you, you do. You have value if you're doing these things we're about to tell you.
And the times that I know the most that I provide value is when there's issues.
Right.
An issue, while such a headache, allows you to step in and save the day mm-hmm. if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And if you have been educated. And there have been times where I thought, if that didn't happen and it ended up working out, that would never have happened if I wasn't there. It wasn't going to work out.
I could point to instances in nearly every transaction where I'm like, if it had been a lesser agent or no agent, it would not have closed. It would have not, it just someone would have been unhappy. There would have been a lawsuit. Like, you know, you are providing value.
Yeah.
When you're knowing your value and you're convincing, you don't want to convince people, but when you're sharing your value, I think it's more important too that if they don't believe you, just move on.
Yeah.
I don't need you to have scripts and talking points to convince every ugly person in the world who says realtors are scum that you're not. Mm-hmm. Just move on. Be like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm so sorry you feel that way. Maybe you've had a bad experience in the past. I know the value I provide to my clients who choose to work with me.
That was so good.
The end.
That was beautiful.
But that's literally the end. And then yeah. it's like, bye. Bye.
Goodbye.
We're not a fit. You don't think realtors are great? It's not my job to convince you they are. Mm-hmm. It's just my job to be great. And then the ones who want to work with me will find me.
I think that's how I felt answering these questions, because I thought the answers that I don't know who they sent this questionnaire to.
Right.
But the answers that they are going to get back, there are probably 100% some that are like, anytime you need me, 24/7. I'm always available. I love when you text me at night. I don't need my family dinner time.
I've never been on vacation before in my life.
I don't do vacation. I'm a slave to my work and to you.
Right. Mm-mm.
I just thought the answers that they're going to get back sadden me.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And I think that value proposition is one of those buzzwords in the industry when they're like, know your value proposition. And I'm like, do you?
Yeah.
What exactly is it? Can you talk to it? Or do you even know it internally? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go with the things you need to have to show value. You've already mentioned it, your resume. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a whole episode on resume. We'll get into it really deep. But again, you sent that. That's a tangible item. It exists in paper form, whether it's printed or digital. It is a thing. Mm-hmm. Here is my resume. I'm telling you who I am. Now you can get to know me. Now maybe you can build some trust with me. Now you know like what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Okay, resume. Number two, a buyer folder, which I like, some type of buyer presentation, some type of information they're getting as a buyer. Okay, sure. How are we telling them? Do you have steps to making a purchase? That's one of my favorites. What about a vendor list? Like, what are you giving them?
What is the value?
To help them with their process. The vendor list is the best. Mm-hmm. And we have a really great, I think we have like an actual use the vendor list campaign.
We have a vendor list campaign and Build Your Own Business 101.
Yeah, so that they can take their like database and be like, hey, help me build my vendor list. And then I'm going to give it out to everyone who needs it.
Yes. So you have provided value by not only saying, do you have a good person that mm-hmm. you like, or do you have a business that you want to be on the vendor list? And then when I'm done, I will give you the whole list. Thank you for your help.
Thank you.
So if you don't even have a vendor list, you can still use your database to build one. And it not only provides value for you, but for them.
Absolutely. When I give my buyer and my sellers, because they both get the vendor list in their folder. When they get to that, they're like, oh, thank you so much. I did need a painter. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted whatever. I mean, the buyers are like, oh, great. I don't mind looking. Because if they're looking at houses that need some work, they're like, oh, a painter? Wonderful. Mm-hmm. That value. It's like your own personal Angie's List. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to have a million people on it.
My dad always jokes because he's like, you have someone for everything.
You need to.
Everything. I said, yeah. I mean, I know I could pick up the phone right now and call any AC guy and get them there today. The ones that know me.
Yeah.
I have the resources to make things happen quickly if I need to. I don't want to abuse that.
Right.
And if it's not an emergency, I'm not going to say that. But they know if I call and say, I need a WDIR today.
Yeah.
They're going to make it happen.
Okay, great. That's providing value.
Yeah.
You have these partnerships, these relationships. And I think the other one on my list, just with vendors works and with other agents in your market. Mm-hmm. Do you have good relationships with other agents in the market? If they have a listing that's about to come on market, maybe are they going to be like, oh, well, I'll share it with you. Mm-hmm. Or are they going to give your offer preference because they know you're going to do a good job of getting it closed if there's multiple offers? Like there are ways that having those partnerships is a value to your client.
Yes.
Right? So
is your realtor someone well-known and respected in the industry and the community?
Yeah. So
what
relationships.
What is their reputation? Yes.
What are their relationships with other agents, with vendors, all of that? Okay. Market reports. Mm-hmm. And the knowledge of the market. So knowledge is an intangible, but then I'm gonna send you over the report. Tangible. Mm-hmm. Here it is in black and white. You and I both really like the summary. It gets you the most data in the shortest amount of time. Mm-hmm. So far, resume, buyer folder, market report, relationships. These are all free things.
Mm-hmm. They cost you nothing.
They cost you nothing to provide them to your clients, right? And having a market report, it doesn't, and that's the other thing. You don't have to spend 8 hours creating one of these. A million photos, some fancy CMA, like software. That's not valuable. Mm-mm. The buyers and the sellers want the information and your knowledge and your ability to like sort through it.
Yes. Can you explain this chart to them?
What does it mean?
What are you seeing in the market?
Why do we care?
Yes.
Not, oh, this report looks fancy. Mm-hmm. I don't care what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And they don't care what it looks
like. Usually when I present the CMA summary, I say, listen, this is a very simple form. I like it because it is straight to the point and gives you exactly what you need to know. Let me show you how to read it. It shows you exactly what the list price was and what they sold it for. So you can see how much these people are negotiating. Like, simple.
Simple.
Very simple.
Because they don't do this every day and they don't need to be overwhelmed. And they also don't need to know every detail of every house in order to figure out what the market is doing. You have to summarize it down. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're giving them the summary plus giving them a literal summary of what the summary says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so market reports, knowledge of your area. Again, that's tangible and intangible. Knowledge of your good vendors. So sharing your lender, your title, your inspector. Who are they going to use during the process? Not just the people we need to get out there in a pinch if we need to like have a plumbing leak taken care of, but like who do they need to use to purchase or sell their home?
Hey there, are you looking for ways to save time and money in your business?
Email Templates 101 is the communication system you need to bring ease and efficiency to managing your transactions and clients.
Save time and avoid mistakes, all while providing a high level of service for your buyers and sellers.
In Email Templates 101, you'll get 13 downloadable buyer templates ready for your personal touches.
And 19 downloadable seller templates, plus 6 attachment checklists.
Head over to hustlehumblypodcast.com/courses to get yours today.
And I also think, you know, back to that other point about, what did you say right before that, before the vendor list?
The market report, or before the vendor list?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, steps to making a purchase?
Yeah.
Your presentation?
Like you being able to communicate it to, speaking from experience. And I know if you're new, you're like, I don't have any experience. Before I had any experience. So our office has the Monday morning meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We literally sit in a circle and you start off by saying, what is a challenge you are having right now?
Okay.
Even to this day, when people say something, every Monday, there's probably something I have never been through.
You're like, oh, good to know.
In every transaction I have had, there's new things all mm-hmm. the time. So even being able to say, this just happened with someone in my office and this is how they handled it. This is what our company did.
Yeah.
If you don't have the experience, learn about what other people's experiences are. I have been able to save so many things from having had to think about it before because of our Monday meeting and hearing about it.
Yeah.
I would have never thought of it otherwise.
Right. You have to listen to the stories of the other transactions that are happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, but that's again, what are your relationships? Are you participating in the market? Like you can't just, like, are you logging on to the MLS? Mm-hmm. Do you see what houses mm-hmm. are available? Do you have any clue what's happening in the market? Like this is things that you need to do to provide that value. When you see your neighbors on the street and they ask you like, oh, I saw the house on the corner, what did it sell for? You should know
mm-hmm.
your neighborhood for sure. Okay, next up on our list of tangible items that provide value to your clients, email templates.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
They are proactive in answering questions. Your job is to help your clients get through these transactions with the least amount of stress, the least amount of confusion. Like these are answering those questions before they happen.
Yes.
You should have told your lady that in her email response.
I might have mentioned it.
I mean,
like that I have a step-by-step process.
You're going
to
know.
To have everything consistent. I'll take care of everything for you.
She wishes she got those email templates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next up, being available. And I don't mean 24/7, but are you willing to talk on the phone? Will you respond to an email or text? How long is it going to take you? Not like at 10 at night, but like.
Right.
You're on the phone all of the time during business hours.
Yeah.
You're not hard to reach.
No.
Just because you have boundaries didn't make you hard to reach.
Not at all.
Okay. So I think being available is kind of an intangible, but something that's going to provide your client value and they're going to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some things that I think are, and those are all value. I feel like everything that we have just listed there is a value to your clients. Here is a experience, which is more of a nice to have. Those are all things you probably need to have. Mm-hmm. And this is more of a nice to have. Is getting your client a super nice closing gift a value?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't matter how much money you spend. It is not a value. They hired you to buy or sell.
I had a final walkthrough this morning before mm-hmm. I came here. I sold them their house that they're in now 3 years ago, and they're moving to their second home. So they're upgrading. And whenever we were talking about selling their house, the numbers looked good, but I thought, wait, your interest rate was so low when yeah. you bought this.
Mm-hmm.
And your note is hardly anything. Have you ever thought about keeping it as an investment property? Which is talking me out of a job, mind you.
Right.
So I sent him the podcast episodes about, you know, the landlord ones we have, what to do if you're interested, because he said, you know, I was actually thinking about that because even taking the equity and put in doing the recast and putting it on our new mortgage after we sell it, because they don't have to sell to buy. It only changed the monthly note like $100
a month. Like, what am-
so it didn't make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. But if I could make $800 a month because my mortgage is so low and rent is so high, maybe it's worth keeping. So in the driveway today, he goes, so I wanted to ask you, I listened to your episode, so I know you don't do rentals, but could I pay you like a consulting fee to help me, you know, walk through mine specifically or like answer questions? I said, how about this? We close tomorrow on your new house. I have no closing gift for you. I will be happy to answer any questions you have about renting your house out.
What did he say?
He was like, oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, because they don't want a blah, whatever it is.
They don't want a cheese board.
Or the, right, a cutting board, a knife. They don't need, like, sure, it's fine and cute and it's, whatever. Yes, it's fine. Thoughtful,
but he was it's like, thoughtful. I even said, I don't have a closing gift for you tomorrow. So how about that's your closing gift? And he was like, yes.
Whenever I have closings for investors, like they're buying a property to rent out, I just get them professional photos because I'm like, you're going to use these
over and over again.
Every time
the house becomes for rent.
And look, I'm all for giving your clients a good experience, like white glove experience. And, you know, we have all these touch points and things are going to be so nice and lovely. And we're going to get you a pizza party at the end or whatever. That is all fine and good. But if you're not doing the must-haves on the value list, a pizza party or a fancy closing gift, those are Band-Aids at the end. Do you know what I mean?
I love that. Yes.
It's not the value. It looks cool.
It's nice.
It's a nice to have.
Is it valuable?
It is part of the client experience. And that's great. But it's not the meat of what you do as an agent.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard, especially, and maybe you can understand or sympathize with this. If you're not a person that shows up with a lot of tangibles, having that physical item at the end, like here's your gift. It does feel like that has value because it's a thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you literally had to pay for it. So it has a value. But it's the intangibles that are more valuable to your clients.
Well, even on my way to the final walkthrough this morning, I was thinking, I just don't have a closing gift for them. You know what? And these are repeat clients. I feel bad. And so I thought maybe I'll have the house cleaned for them. But the seller had, thank goodness, it was a beautiful final walkthrough. Well, but then the fact that to see, put it this way, I've given closing gifts. No one was as excited as he was today when I told him, don't worry about it.
Right. Like, let's have a meetup.
Yeah. I'll help you. Happy to help you with that.
Because that is the value.
Yeah.
He can't get that anywhere else. He can't get that in another way. Okay. So that's my full list of things that just off the top of my head were the value needs to have. Okay.
One more story.
Please. I'm going to grab something off the printer, but tell me the story.
Okay, great. So one of my childhood friends, older sibling, she used to carpool me. Okay. She used to carpool me. But now that we're older, we're close in age, but she could drive before I could. So she had to carpool me and my younger sister.
That's a funny verb. She drove you to school?
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
go on.
She picked me up from school.
Oh, okay.
When I became a realtor, I handwrote all those letters letting everybody know I was a realtor. She was on that list to get a note.
Your carpooler.
My carpooler. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. So she's like 3 years older than me. So, okay. She's like, I think, engaged at this point. Well, she reached out to me when she got the note and said, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you. You know, we do have a realtor, but I'll be happy to help you in any way that I can. I just love our realtor so much. And as a new agent who had never had business ever, that was my first time to be like, oh my gosh, other people have realtors. Like, she has a realtor.
Like, oh, man.
And I said, you know, well, she was like, yeah, our realtor's just so great. Like, every year on my birthday, she sends us a birthday cake.
A whole cake.
And I'm thinking, I could never compete with that. How does she keep up with all these birthdays and all these cakes?
Right.
Okay. And I just thought, this is just one I'm never going to win. She can, you know, that's okay.
Let them eat cake.
I'm not going to be able to top that.
Right.
And I don't want to try. I just don't want to, okay?
Fine.
Fast forward 6 years.
6 years of cake.
She calls me to list her house.
You're like, what happened to your cake, lady?
I didn't ask.
We don't know?
I don't know. I just thought, so I did look up who it was from when she bought, so I know who it was, and it wasn't, I'm sure they're a delightful, fine agent. it wasn't someone I know that maybe is super involved or does a ton, which you don't have to do a ton to be good, okay? Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, from watching me in my career over 6 years, mm-hmm. when it came time to need a realtor and pay someone to sell your house, she called me.
Yeah.
I never sent her a cake to this day. Right. And not only did I sell her house, they bought a bigger one with me. I sold her dad's house. Dad bought a bigger house with me. I'm selling her sister's house. Never bought a cake.
No cakes.
No
cakes. Zero cakes delivered.
Were the cakes nice?
Yes.
I am not in any way dogging that agent for that. But it did not win the business. The value won the business.
Right. Because they're hiring a professional. Mm-hmm. They're hiring someone to do a job. Also, it is a job. Mm-hmm. Why do people act like, I am a service provider. I agree. I'm providing service. I'm not selling you pipes or
sure.
products or whatever. But it is still a job. And they're hiring you to do the job. If you do the job well, that should be it.
Yeah.
Nothing else required.
Some of the most successful agents in our marketplace don't do closing gifts at all. They just don't.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm just saying they don't.
Right. And I don't know. It's kind. And I don't know where that tradition, if you will, started. But I also think that it's gotten worse with social media because it's like, oh, I can see you there with the gift or the mm-hmm. this or the that. And then you're like, well, maybe I need to do that because what if my clients see that? And then they realize I didn't give them a gift. And
right.
Y'all, just stop mm-hmm. and really filter your entire business through. Does it provide the client value? Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah. If you have time and can do it, great. If not, don't stress.
Right.
The reason I didn't have a closing gift for them is because there just wasn't something that spoke to their situation. So I just didn't have anything pre-planned.
Yeah. And you know, I normally just did the on buyers, every buyer, regardless if they bought the fanciest house or the not fanciest house, they all got the return address stamp. It's $20 yeah. on Amazon.
Yeah.
It's not about like, it wasn't about, look at this gift I have gotten you. It was more like, this is a fun thing for you to have for your new house. You put in your new address, stamp your mail, enjoy.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about a few things before we wrap this up.
Okay.
In our buyer agreement cover letter, which we did the whole episode on your buyer mm-hmm. brokerage, right? We have my commitments to you. So there's a whole section about what our commitments are to a buyer. The same thing exists for sellers, and we're creating the cover letter for your listing agreement, just like your buyer one, okay?
Correct, yes.
So the letter tells you what you're going to do, what they're going to do, how you're going to get paid, what's going to happen in the process, you know, kind of a quick overview. Then you're like, here is the document, the agreement that you signed to say you want to work with me.
Correct.
If you're having trouble verbalizing value, these are great. Mm-hmm. It gives you the commitments that you have to them, right?
Yes. It's a cover letter to the buyer representation yeah. agreement.
I think it's great. So
simplifies it for you.
If you're not one with the words, mm-hmm. this is what you need.
And I am one with the words, and I still like to use that because this is new.
Right.
Newer.
Well, I think we just kind of rested on our laurels for many years. Well, the buyers are not having to sign. And I know, y'all, I hear you. Some markets, they're like, we always sign.
We always sign. We know. We see your emails. We see.
Right.
Some
well,
of
we,
you.
Well, here's the we thing. Don't. They never signed it here.
Never.
Never. So imagine that. Mm-hmm. That's all.
It's new.
It's a thing. But you need to explain to your buyers and your sellers what they are signing. Why should they sign it? Why do they want to pay you this amount of money? Like, what are you going to do? There's nothing wrong with being able to speak. You show up at the dentist. He's like, I will fill your cavity. You will not have pain. This is the price you pay.
Yes. Brush your teeth. This is what you will do.
This is what you do.
Yeah.
This is what I'll do. If you don't do that, I'm going to have to do more of this.
Yes.
That's yes. up to you. There were a few other sweet friends. Mm-hmm. who had some questions, and I want to ask them to you. Are you okay. ready?
Yes.
What is the one thing that is the easiest to implement in your business right now to provide value? What's the one thing?
Templates. They're done.
Yeah.
I just use email templates to keep everybody on track and to answer all their questions before they ask them.
Okay. I would also say resume. It's like a one, at the end of the day, you can have a resume. Mm-hmm. At the end of an hour.
Yeah.
So, okay. Do you think first impressions make a great impact on new prospective clients? Do you prepare or dress differently for the first time meeting a new client?
I don't know. I feel like I have many sides to Alyssa. Right? I love comfy clothes, as you know, from recording the podcast with me. But I also own like some pencil skirts I really like. I haven't pulled them out in a while. I don't know that I dress differently. I certainly have my hair washed.
Okay, great. Hair is clean.
Hair is clean for new meetings.
Okay. What about the 10th meeting? Hair might be dirty.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, you got me. I'm here. This is it.
You know me by now.
I would say the type of car you show up in does not provide value to your client.
No.
The fanciness of your outfit or purse does not provide value to your client.
No.
Do you want to look nice? Your business.
You may look how, yeah.
I think
how you and your vibe will attract your tribe.
Right. So I think you can look very professional in a pair of jeans.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's any, you have to do it this way. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go on. Mm-hmm. Using other than Trello and email templates, what has been the best time saver in your business? Do you have any good time savers?
I feel like my best time saver with buyers is when they email me their list of houses, taking the 10 minutes it takes to check all the property disclosures, make my notes, maybe even point out, you mentioned you had to have a garage. This one doesn't. Next thing you know, the 8 houses they wanted to see is 3.
So you do. I love your method too with the, you highlight them like, is it red, yellow, green?
Yeah, it's like, green, orange, and red. Green is like, yes, this
is good.
This is what you asked for. Green is like, I mean, orange is like, you said that you wanted this, but it's not in this house, but I could see why you like this house if you're okay compromising. Red is like, this house has a defect, or this is why you may want to reconsider. It's not where you said.
I like that. That's a good time saver. So you're not running out to show houses that will never work.
Yes.
Love that. I would just say pre-stuffing my folder. So if I'm going to have a presentation, it's already done. Mm-hmm. Like I can pull a buyer folder or a seller folder. I can be out of the door to a listing in under 30 minutes mm-hmm. from the minute they call and say, I'd like to sell my house.
Yeah.
It's easy. It's pre-done.
Easy prep.
Okay. What tips do you have for listing agents, representatives for new construction? Oh, okay. They want to know, how do they make it easier for buyers agents and to make the process better for buyers?
So she's a listing agent for a builder.
Yeah. How do you provide value there?
Mm-hmm. My biggest thing with that, doing one right now, is just including the buyer's agent in everything.
Oh.
Making sure they're aware mm-hmm. that the walkthrough is happening, that your client had a question and just wanted to see a fixture, but they came in today. Like I have a buyer right now going to the model home all the time to meet with the builder's agent. And I didn't even know they stopped by. I would just like to know.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
If my people are there.
Mm-hmm.
I think also giving really good detailed process outlines in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it goes. This is what you have to do. Like, can you stop by? Do you need to bring your agent? What's going to happen if you want to go look at the house? Are you allowed on the property? What mm-hmm. Are you allowed to talk directly to the superintendent? Like, what are the rules?
Mm-hmm.
I think as a listing agent for a builder, and in order to provide that builder value to where they're like, you should have a listing agent, those are things you need to do. Look, I'm going to keep the buyers and their agents in check. I'm going to make sure they stick to your processes mm-hmm. and don't get in your way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make sure that everyone knows what's what, when monies are due, like how the process goes. We're not going to have someone trying to flake out at the end after they put in some crazy extra custom finishes. Like I will make sure they're following the rules and that the process goes smoothly.
Yes.
Because the builder doesn't want to do that.
Mm-mm.
They just want to build the house.
Yeah.
And they don't want the buyers calling them directly to be like,
no,
what's going on with this, when it's the way it always gets done? Like,
mm-hmm.
if a buyer has never built a house with their own two hands, they're going to show up and be like, something is wrong. I'm like, no, this is what it looks
this
like.
This is how it goes.
Yeah. It is never dirtier than during construction.
Yeah.
Your house will never be dirtier than during construction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A couple of others, just talking about creating value for a buyer's agent in this changing market where buyers might have to start paying their own fees. I don't think that you need to create anything. Like there's nothing.
Yeah. You just explain what you do.
Right. Just have to identify. What do you do? And y'all, buyer's agents don't just open doors or search for listings online.
Yeah.
That's like the bottom of the list, you know?
Correct.
Yes, you do have to show up and open the door. But like, did you read the property disclosure before you went? Did you check that it met all the qualifications for your buyer? Do you know anything about that neighborhood? What about the data? What about all of the, you know, what's happening with the prices there.
Is there flood insurance required? Like, do they qualify with the insurance? What?
Right.
The amount of money that I have saved clients by going and educating them on even the lender things and how money works in the loan world, it's just amazing.
Right. My lender called me today. I had a new buyer call this week. He was a referral from a past client. He's a first-time buyer. He's like, I said, okay, have you looked at your budget at all? Do you have any idea? Have you talked to a lender? Yes, I have talked to three lenders. I'm like, holy smokes. Wow. Okay, great. And I'm like, and he told me who it was. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. I said, but you're having some specific questions to being a first-time buyer. Why don't you talk to my local lender? She's really great at telling you all the different types of loans and what might work for you, okay? What your options are. Okay, great, no problem. Because I'm like, hey, now you have all these banks that you called. It's not just about your interest rate, friend. You're going to have to get your fee sheet and you're going to have to compare, right? So I sent him on his way and then my lender called me. She's like, he called and I'm talking to him. And I said, well, listen, I told him he had all the, did he tell you what lenders he talked to? She said a couple and I told her the others. And I said, hey, you're going to have to get some fee sheets because it's not all about the rate. And she said, thank you. That was exactly the right thing to say. And I'm like, I knew you would appreciate that.
Right.
Because it isn't, just comparing the rate is not how it works. Your buyers don't know that.
They don't know.
Mm-mm. Then there could be all these fees that make the rate go up.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's really all I have on value. My biggest thing is agents are valuable.
Yeah.
The better you are, the more valuable you are. But at the end of the day, we've said this in our previous episode, typically your clients have a full-time job. Mm-hmm. This is ours.
Our full-time job.
It's a job. Mm-hmm. There are all these pieces and parts. Things have to be done. I'm not just showing up, at the end to be like, okay, bye. Here's a gift and enjoy your home. Like there was a lot of work between you saying you wanted to buy or sell your home and that.
In our Google research, and we were Googling seeing what Google says about how agents provide value, we did come across a good article by Forbes.
Yeah.
But what I liked about them is that when they listed the top three things, they always started it off with a high level agent will blank. A high level agent will blank.
Yeah.
It wasn't like all agents do this.
No, no.
All agents do that. No, you need to interview to make sure that you are working with a high level agent that is full time and is aware of what's going on.
Yeah. And as an agent, you need to strive to become a high-level agent. Like, what are you doing that you can raise the bar? Like, how can
Before
you add
I
these things?
Before I had the numbers behind me, I was touring homes, attending. I was learning as much as I could so that I could speak with confidence.
Yeah. It's very important.
You can be high-level without having the numbers yet.
Yes, absolutely. Because anyone can have knowledge. Yeah. Anyone can study the market. Anyone can be familiar with neighborhoods. Anyone can know the product. Take classes. Mm-hmm. Okay. I love that. High level agent. That's really good. Okay. I had something else, but I can't remember what it was. So we're just going to move on. Remember, you have access to the buyer agreement cover letter. Now we're going to have the seller agreement cover letter, which I guess I'll call listing agreement cover letter.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to do a whole episode on resume. So if you're like, oh, I need to do that, start, but we'll dive into it a little deeper. Anything else? You can go back to 154 if you want to talk to sellers about your value.
Yeah.
Okay. And don't convince, have conviction. Don't convince, have conviction. That really stuck with me.
That's good.
So true. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's a toast from someone.
From California.
In California.
At our conference.
I know. It's going to be so fun. Them. I can't wait to hear who it is. Okay. Bye.
Hi, my name is Nicole Sparacia from Century 21 Thoma Partners in Peoria, Arizona. And I would like to toast, first off, Maria Elena Ramey for introducing me to real estate. We went to school together. We've done the whole ride together for the last 15 years. And if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be on this crazy ride of real estate. And I also want to toast everyone at my brokerage, Century 21 Thoma Partners, the Thoma Partner family. They are amazing. I love everyone that I work with. We're a big family, and I couldn't have asked for a better brokerage to work with. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Hustle Humbly podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, please go to ratethispodcast.com/hustlehumbly and leave us a review or drop a comment if you're listening on Spotify.
If you have an episode topic or someone you'd like to toast on the show, please email us at team@hustlehumblypodcast.com.
Find us on social media at Hustle Humbly Podcast. Don't forget to find all of the free resources at hustlehumblypodcast.com/resources.
See you next week.